So welcome, we're at Crest Cerno in Madrid. We are going to do a story gatherers recording for Jenny Bear and myself. We've known each other for
31 years.
31.
We're not old enough, are we, Shaz?
No.
No.
I only turned 29 last night. So Jenny and I met when we were teenagers back in the day, and we thought we'd share with you some of the shenanigans we got up to as young actors and people in general of Cornwall.
Yes. Yeah, so we were part of a theatre company, which was actually an offshoot of Cornwall Youth Theatre, and we were called Foundation Theatre, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
And it was run by Jackie and Dave Hunter.
Yeah.
Jackie Maul and Dave Hunter at the time. A couple of beauties. Their son is, Jackie's son is Rob Maul. And Jackie's husband was Jeff Maul. And Jeff Maul directed it and wrote it, I believe, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, Jeff wrote it.
Yeah, that's right. And it was a play called Famous Five, All Clued Up. And it was a frolicking, rollicking tale, which had two parts to it. It was, part of it was the Famous Five group of young children, kids, who sort of would romp around the Cornish countryside getting up to all sorts of mischief. And the other half
was the Cluedo characters and how that differed from the Famous Five is all the Cluedo characters, we had full facial masks. So it was a bit of a to do ensemble theatre so young.
Yeah.
It was just a gift. But also as well to kind of work on script is one thing, but then to learn how to use mask work and tell story silently but physically as teenagers, that was just such a huge game changer, really, in learning how the physical is so important as well as the script work. So the characters I played was Aunt Rosie, the aunt of the Famous Five, a buxom Cornish woman. And I also played Mrs. White from the Cluedo characters. Who did you play, Jen?
So I played George from the Famous Five characters. At the time, I suppose, I was a tomboy, but we don't use those words anymore. But yes, that's at the time, it was kind of written into the books. That was who she was. So yes, there we were, romping around Cornwall. Yeah. We'd had a good couple of weeks, maybe, of rehearsal in Gorham.
Yeah.
In the rooms there.
Yeah, church rooms.
In the church rooms just above where Jackie and Jeff lived at the time, in Gorham. And we managed to get it all learnt and up and running, and the music was amazing. It was Django Reinhardt, a lot of it. So we had the lovely mask scenes, the Cluedo scenes were sort of accompanied by this fantastic music as well, which the boys at the time, some of the boys, Rob Maul and Jamie Crowe, happened to be in a band at the time called Root Juice. Probably never heard of them, and they were very much into very excellent guitar players, and Django was one, because I think he only had, was he missing fingers?
He
on
was because he I think, if I could be lying now, but I've got a feeling he was in a fire,
that's it,
and his caravan caught fire or something, and he lost some fingers trying to get out.
Yeah, so you play this incredible intricate music, as you probably know, just with very few digits. So anyway, there it was. So there we were. We had a load of theatre dates and times and places to perform. One of the places, which one was it where Harry...
So that was Hall for... Well, actually, no, that was City Hall.
So, that's another story. That was City Hall in Truro before it became the Hall for Cornwall. This quite big stage with a fair drop.
A fair drop, and that's how this story starts. So, the lovely Harry Pearce and I played love interests. As I said, the aforementioned Mrs. White. And Harry Pearce was Reverend Green. Now, Harry... He's a bloody good actor.
He's a very, very good actor.
He's a really good actor. Anyway, but physically, the comedy is that I'm quite a rotund human. I've got curves and the like. Harry, very thin, very tall. And we're doing a scene on the stage at the Hall of Cornwall. It's in the second half. It's all getting a bit exciting. We're going to find out who did it and all of that. And we're on stage doing the do. The music's playing. It's all getting exciting. And I turn around. And we've got to remember, we're in full masks. So we've only got very, very limited vision through our eye holes. And we've got no peripheral vision whatsoever. So it's literally what's in front of your face and your two little eye holes that you see from. And I turn, and Harry isn't where he normally is. So I look again, and I look again, and I'm luckily that I'm clowning, and people are finding what I'm doing funny, but what I'm actually doing is I'm trying to find the actor I'm on stage with, because he's disappeared. Then, by absolute great good fortune, as I scan around again, and inside, I'm panicking, right? I don't know, you don't just lose a human that you're on stage with a few seconds before. Thank God he's like 6'3", because the drop of the City Hall stage that was about 6'2", and I just saw that, like a centimetre of Harry's mask, and he had gone too far, fallen off the stage. I didn't hear him crash on the floor because of the music and the adrenaline of the scene. And I then have to tentatively walk towards the edge of the stage because I can't see much either. And I tell you what, if I fell off that stage, I wouldn't be getting up. Anyway, then I see him. It's so weird because obviously it's a paper mache mask. It's not going to physically move. It's not going to physically change. But I swear to God, that moment I looked down and actually saw Harry's full mask of Reverend Green look back up at me, I swear to God, it moved, just to say, thank God you found me. Anyway, we then carried on the comedy, by me then hauling him, literally, me lying down on the stage and hauling him and his great big cassock back up onto the stage, where we then completed the scene. And I do believe we did have a little bit of a round of applause after that, because, anyone with half of mine would have known that wasn't supposed to happen. But I wasn't the only one on that tour that had some shenanigans that brought laughter to the actors. So I'm going to pass you over to the lovely Jenny Bear. She's going to tell her what happened to her when she was playing George.
So what happened was, now I'm not sure where we were. I think we were in Cubert.
No, you weren't.
No, we weren't in Cubert.
You were in Porth Tower.
Porth Tower?
Yeah.
Was it Porth Tower?
It was Porth Tower that happened.
Storytelling is handy when you've got a good memory. So there we were in Porth Tower, setting up. We'd all set up. Show had gone underway. All good. Lovely audience. Off we go. Now, I can't remember, but maybe part of the set was a rug or something. There was something on the floor. And it was quite slippy, but we hadn't kind of pre-disastered the set. We just put the stuff down. It seemed to have worked the night before, so we thought it'll work again tonight. Anyway, what happened was there was one scene where the dog, it was John Picton, and the dog's called
Timmy.
Timmy has to come on and tell the rest of his gang, the rest of the famous five, who is where and what's happened. And it's a very high adrenaline moment. There's a lot. It's kind of the culmination, really, of the whole thing, is that Timmy comes on, he woofs and he points and he does all this, and we go, oh, he's down the mine with John the Butcher and there's a knife neck or whatever it was. But what happened this particular night in Porth Town was Timmy, John Picton, runs on, goes ass over elbow on this rug, but somehow ends up doing some kind of front roll, and instead of collapsing in a heap, he actually manages to regain his composure and point as Timmy was meant to do. So actually John had gotten away with it, which was perfect. Now all I had to do as the George character was deliver the line. However, laughter couldn't hold it together. I totally... What's it called when you're on stage?
Corpsed.
Corpsed, thank you. I love the menopause. I totally corpsed on stage. Now my lovely fellow actors, it was Rob and Jamie and Olivia, you'd have thought they would have helped me out at this point, and seeing that I couldn't actually speak because tears were falling down my face with laughter at what Timmy had just done. No. They actually carried on and on, egging me on to say the line. And it felt like about half an hour. I'm sure it wasn't if we had a video of the event. It was probably about 30 seconds, but it felt like hell and high water. So finally, I can't remember who it was. Somebody delivered the line. I was released from the scene and we left and on continued the show.
And I think the one thing, well, I mean, A, it was hilarious from beginning to end, and it was so mean what they did to you. However, what... And this is no good for a recording because you can't see what Jen and I did. But Jen started to bend from the waist down. And as she laughed, she got lower and lower and lower till she had folded herself in half. So anyone that knows stagecraft, it's not a good look to be like... Physically, Jen's face is next to her ankles, pretty much, because she's folded herself in two with laughter. And they just, as Jen said, they were relentless. What was that, George?
What was that?
George, what did you say?
What did you say, George?
And that's what went on. And it was just, and I felt, because, yeah, it was brilliant. I don't know if you remember, Jen, we had a French family who followed us.
Yes,
for pretty much the whole tour.
Yeah,
they were so lovely. Mm. They saw it on the first or second night, wherever we were. And they just literally, wherever we were in Cornwall for that tour, and it was only about a couple of weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe, I know, 8 or 10 venues at tops. They came to see us every night they were there. Mm. And I don't know where that French family now, and I don't know if they'll ever hear this, but if you do ever hear it, thank you so much for having so much fun with us.
Thank you.